I'm excited to have you guys here. It's Radiate, man. Fairfield County Live and Local, presented by the Sono Collection, 95.9 The Fox. I've been playing you guys for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, a good mutual friend of ours turned me on to you guys a few weeks ago. Tell me about how this band got started, because there's four of you in total, but Daniel and Mikey, you guys are the two who are actually from CT. How did you meet the rest of the band? How did you guys come together musically?
I'll let Daniel get that one on.
Okay, cool. So Mikey and I have been best friends for 10 years. And I feel like our friendship really... Our relationship and friendship really revolved around music as it started. Like, we had a lot of, you know, when we hung out, we were sharing bands that we liked. And we always were interested in doing music together. And we were always performing a lot in, like, Westport and Connecticut, as starting off as, like, at the age of, like, 16, you know? And I met him when I moved to Westport in high school. And that's just something that Mikey and I has always shared when we were starting off with as being friends. And Mikey and I ended up meeting some really nice dudes in Norwalk, Connecticut. And we ended up being in a band called Forgetting Fame. And Forgetting Fame for us was our first legit, like, professional, like, touring kind of band that we were, like, really invested in. And even, like, when we were both in high school, we had the pleasure of, like, taking time off of high school to go record our first record that our school let us do, you know.
So this is like, this is like junior, senior year of high school, around that time?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I even told, I went to Staples High School, and I was like, yeah. So they're like, what are you going to do with your life? I'm like, I'm going to be in a band. You know, and they're like, okay, you know, they actually gave me a sheet. I don't know if you remember this, Mikey. They gave me a sheet. They're like, okay, well, if you're gonna go record with your producer, just make sure he signs that you were there.
Yeah.
And then I gave the sheet, and he looks at me like, really?
I'm like, yeah, a man, doctor's note,
kind of like a doctor's note.
That's great.
yeah, we all we went to Ocean City, Maryland to go record I don't know, what was it, like a 7 song kind of album that we did, maybe a 7-8 song album that we did. But you know, all the instruments, we traveled a little bit earlier, and then I think it was actually probably because Daniel was still, you know, like, with school and doing all that, where he had to come later, and, like, we picked him up at the Greyhound bus station in Maryland and stuff, and, like, he came with that. So, like, we really got, like, the full kind of, like, band experience right from the get-go from that. And, you know, we're still really good friends with the people that are in that band, that we were in that band with together. And we toured a lot of different places, went up to Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa, then all the way down to Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, a bunch in Massachusetts, a bunch in New York, a bunch in Connecticut, Jersey. So that was a really fun experience just to have before we could, you know, really even play some of the venues that we were playing at.
Because, well, so that's, you know, what I was, yeah, like that. That's what I was going to ask. That's a hugely formative experience at that, you know, I mean, at that time. How did that impact you guys? What was your perspective on it? Were you nervous about it? Were you excited? Was this like, oh, this is it? This is the dream come true? Or, I mean, you know, were you able to even look at it from that perspective at that age?
I think now, kind of like looking back on it, like, we really had no idea what to expect. We were having such a good time with it, and it was 100% just living in the moment and enjoying it. And maybe now we appreciate those experiences more now, but, you know, everything that we did, and, you know, busting a tire, you know, having to fix our alternator, you know, having the, you know, battery die with something, having to find a mechanic on Craigslist to maybe get to the show the next day.
Notice that every single problem has been the van breaking down so far.
We played this one show in Poughkeepsie, New York, right next to the Chance. We actually played the Chance, and I thought that was awesome to go play there. But we were playing, and, you know, we were kind of like an opening band, and the PA set on fire. So then we had to have some come and bring the PA. We're like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. We kind of ruined it for you. But that actually turned out to be fine. So I think all of those like little experiences really prepared ourselves for now. Just be like, hey, man, go with the flow. It's fine. We'll figure it out. It's okay. You know, you can figure everything out. So those, you know, those little life experiences and stuff have, you know, really impact us now. And maybe we didn't really realize how much it would impact us then.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually.
Yeah. But dude, it was just a lot of fun and stuff. I mean, we were all crammed into a van. I remember when we were in Texas, another van problem. The air conditioner broke out in the van. So 8 guys in a hot van. Then we're going to 8. Louisiana, Florida and stuff. So it was the 5 of us. And then we had like a merch guy. And then we had one of our friends who was a mechanic. And he, you know, helped drive and, you know, kind of. I guess we kind of anticipated the problems that were going to happen with the van and stuff.
But, you brought a mechanic with you. That's smart. That's like if you're listening to this and you're like a band about to start touring, just get your buddy who's a mechanic to come with.
Yeah,
if
you know someone who's like that and stuff, you definitely help with merch or help with driving or anything. And if you need it, then yeah.
Right. That's a tour hack right there. Combine the merch guy and the mechanic into one person.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So when did you guys meet up with Vlad and Will? When did that happen? When did Radiate happen?
So that actually like segues in perfectly, I feel like, because during like our experiences with, you know, the band we were in Connecticut that we were in for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, we ended up touring with a band called Varsity from New York City, which they're becoming actually very well known now. Yeah. Just because of that experience, we started, you know, getting to know and meeting a lot of musicians in New York City. And like during the transition of, so for Getting Fame, we kind of like had a transition and everybody had kind of like their own life and things kind of got in the way and we couldn't really tour anymore, or like do things that we normally were to do when we were a bit younger. So I wanted to continue to do music and stuff. And Mikey was, you know, we're very passionate people towards the things that we wanted to do when it comes to music and our endeavors in music. And I met Vlad through, you know, some of Joey helped me from Varsity. He's like, oh, like I know this guy that's looking for a singer or whatever. And Vlad and our drummer Will, they were performing together or like practicing, and they didn't have a bass player and a singer, so it was like those two spots happened to be open as well. Yeah. And they were that band, like it was a little more different than Forgetting Fame. It was a little more progressive,
kind of very similar with it, because Forgetting Fame, it was, you know, two guitarists and a drummer, and they needed a bass player and singer, and Daniel and I, you know, both times really just fit in together. So it was like, right. On both times, it was like two different friend groups kind of just like meshing in together. Daniel and I have always been doing music together. I play bass, he sings, and then we, you know, kind of can fit in to whichever one. And we're lucky enough to, you know, have that opportunity and be like, okay, let's try this again and see what's happening. And I don't know, what was that, Fish? Like maybe now 5, 6 years ago?
With Radiate?
Yeah, with Radiate.
I think it was about like, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago now, you know? Yeah.
So around 2018, that was when you guys got started. That was when, like, you know, the band really first started to come together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And what, like, so songwriting wise, you know, you guys described the last band, the band you were in before that, Forgetting Fame, I think you said it was called, you know, two guitar players, drummer, lead singer, you know, a larger band. What I love about you guys is you're each on your own instrument. It's one guitar, drummer, bass, vocalist, you know, and a separate vocalist from the guitar player too, which I enjoy. What's your songwriting process like? Is there a primary? Because everyone's on their own instrument, so it's kind of you can all bring an equal part to a song. Do you have one primary songwriter, or, you know, how do you split that up?
Can I say it?
Yeah. So
basically, I kind of feel like when we're asked this question, it's kind of like, I kind of feel like we have a, like, we're all painters and we have a canvas, you know? So when it comes to, I feel like depending on what we're working on, when it comes to the project or the album or a single, whatever it may be, we've figured out a certain formula on how we go about doing it. I think really like mainly when it comes to the ideas, the structure wise of instrumental, it's our guitar player, Vlad. He really comes up with maybe like a main idea, start something off, and for the rest of the instrumental. So he'll like be the first painter to like draw, you know, like the actual structure of it. And then Mikey has his own brush with his instrument and he'll, you know, add his flavor and twist on it, and the drums will add. So everybody adds their own individuality when it comes to what they can offer in the band. But I mean, I always check with the band when it comes to like the ideas of lyrics or the melodies or everything. I'm like, how, you know, I always like check with everybody, be like, is this how we want it, you know? But they always seem to be cool with, you know, the kind of vibe and ideas that I can present to the band. So it's mainly the two of us, but everybody adding together once it's there's a structure to it, you know.
All right, so Daniel, that's interesting that you should say that though. So if I understood that correctly, are you typically the last piece of the puzzle? Will lyrics and like a vocal melody go on to the song last, or is that, can that come in at any point during the songwriting?
I feel like it could come in at any point in the songwriting when it comes to, it's like the baseline instrumental and the vocals come in, and then I feel like that kind of helps the vibe of the bass and the drums, you know? So I don't know. It's kind of weird how we do it. It's our own way, I feel like, you know, but I feel like it gives a chance for Mikey as well to like create his vibe and essence when it comes to like the vibe he wants to put on the bass, you know? I'm sorry I'm like talking for you, but it's kind of how I feel about it, you know? Like,
thing is that like
we create, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we all have, you know, our own little home setup, and then, you know, we record whatever, we put it into our Google Drive, and then like, hey, listen to this. Oh, hey, I changed this a little bit. So we all, you know, we'll have, you know, a handful of drafts, and it might work out, it might not work out, but, you know, every little part be like, oh, I like this, but I changed it a little bit. Oh, I did this kind of thing, you know, we'll, you know, do a drum track to this. Or it's like, oh, I did this bass part and stuff. See if you can do a vocal melody to it. And then, you know, it might work out with that. Or, you know, that one little part will be a chorus and then a completely different song. So a really cool thing is that, you know, we, you know, can pick and choose whatever we want. We all have, you know, that kind of input with, you know, oh, I, you know, here's this, check this out. Or I just put this in, check the Google Drive. So it's always like a constant thing that we're looking at and stuff, like, oh, like what's new, guys? Oh, check the Google Drive. It's fine. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Are you guys all living in the city right now, or are you guys like still in CT and kind of just like doing this remotely?
Yeah. Daniel and I, we're still in CT. The other two guys are in the city. We do have a practice space in Stamford. Like, I don't know. How long have we been there? We've been there for, I think coming up on like 3 years or something like that. In Stamford, we used to commute to the city, go to like Smash Mouth Studio, or there was this one in Brooklyn called
Sweatshop. It's no longer a thing anymore. Which is sad. We have so many memories going into the city like twice a week, you know, or once a week when it comes to like practice. Yeah. And it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of traveling and a lot of money.
Much
it was
work.
Fun. It was like part of the passion and the adventure. Like, we just get on the train and we just go and see what would happen. And it's just like, you know, since we live so close to Metro North and the city, you know, it was an easy way to go and separate like our Connecticut life and just like get away and go to the city whenever we wanted to. And I kind of do miss that a little bit, but now that we have this studio in Stamford, which is really nice. It's on Bedford Street. It's in a really nice area, you know. It gives us more of like a headquarters and a way to work on everything without feeling rushed. Yeah.
More precise. And, you know, a lot of the times when we would rent this room for a couple hours, sometimes it would have a good PA. Sometimes the acoustics of the room would be good. Sometimes we would, you know, have all the equipment that we needed, but a lot of times we didn't. And then, you know, if you needed to like change anything, then, you know, unfortunately, then they'd be like, okay, yeah, we can do that for you. It's going to be extra on your room. Or we'd be like, oh, can we get this, you know, I remember, what was it, room C at Smash Mouth in Manhattan and stuff. We'd like always like ask for this one specific room because they always had like, you know, a good setup for us to have. And now that we're in Stamford, you know, the guys, it's, you know, 45 minutes to an hour for them to come down, and we can have the whole day there. And right. Now in that studio there, we're doing a lot of photo shoots in there. We're doing all of our covers in there. We really can manipulate the room to whatever kind of video idea that we have. And that's, you know, really fun and really creative for us.
Is that where you guys are recording too? Do you guys record out of there?
We do a lot of pre-recording there, or we'll do a lot of pre-recording like at home, like I said, and then we'll like share it with each other on our Google Drive. But for all the stuff that we did, we went to a really talented producer in Portland, Oregon, named Chris Crummett.
Okay.
He's a guy who's done all of the Dance Gavin Dance, you know, their whole discography pretty much, Issues, Sleeper with Sirens. So a lot of like Warped Tour bands that Daniel and I really enjoyed. And, you know, every year we would go to Hartford Warped Tour, and that would be like a little thing. Like, you know, when we were young, you'd be like, oh, like I'm going to sleep over at your house. And like,
right.
I remember like my mom would take us up. Or then, you know, after then when we met all of these Norwalk guys, then we would go up together, but we'd get there, you know, like rope drop and stuff. We'd get there really early. And then, you know, I remember like my favorite thing was like the shower afterwards, because it was all like dirt and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And then just watching, like just watching your feet and like that horrible sewage just coming off of your body. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
Dust storms and everything. But, you know, you know, Daniel and I really connected with, you know, Warped Tour music and, you know, that, I don't know, like post-hardcore, you know, 2007, like emo scene and everything.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I mean, I hear the Used, you know, all over, you know, all over what you guys are listening to. I hear Warped Tour in general. I don't want to even like
limit it to
one band. What were you guys listening to? What was the sound that was like kind of stuck in your head that you think is coming out the most in Radiate right now?
Hmm. What do you think, Daniel?
I feel like the one band that we really shared a mutual love for was Dance Gavin Dance.
I was going to say the same thing, like very Gavin Dancey.
And, you know, we had, it was kind of like a lucky opportunity because Chris normally doesn't just take any band that comes to him to do work for. So we were like, we were and are the only band that isn't like super famous or anything like that. He just happened to just give us this opportunity, I think, from like somebody that recommended it that he knew, that we knew at one time. And just because of that opportunity, we were able to do two records with him. And I think it was one of the best things that we could have done for our band, because I think if it wasn't him and it was maybe somebody similar to him, it wouldn't, it could have changed the music a little bit, because he kind of really understood everybody when it comes to the instrumentals, as well as like me as a vocalist. And we all really worked together. But the thing is, like, him just really, when it came to every single instrument, including vocals, just really understanding what we were trying to do, and just like taking that and like heightening like what we wanted to become, kind of thing.
So he was really producing you. This wasn't just a situation of paying an engineer to be in the room to mix for you. This was a full on production like relationship that you had.
Most definitely. Oh, yeah. He really listened to us, and, you know, with emailing, you know, prior and sending him rough drafts before everything, you know, he really listened, but he also really directed. And he really helped us out with it. And there'd be times when, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to record this song tomorrow. Just work on this part right here. Maybe this would sound better with it. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the main reasons why we went to him also, is because, you know, like, you know, what do we know? Who are we? Right. You know, this person, this is what he does and stuff. We really respect him. We want to have, you know, the best chance, best opportunity as we can. And, you know, through the two times that we went, and, you know, I like to say like hung out with him, because we most definitely did, and, you know, had a really good time, I felt that whole experience made the album what it is. And, you know, just like what Daniel said, if it was with anyone else, it wouldn't be anywhere near, you know, this kind of production, or, you know, this, I don't know, this, you know, this, the vibe of it would be completely different.
and the songs speak for themselves. Yeah, I've been playing a couple of them for the last couple of weeks on on 95.9. We're gonna play a whole bunch more, and I want to talk about these singles that you guys have been putting out. But I have to take a left turn for a second because Mikey, I'm not doing my job if I don't mention that you are Mikey Feliciano, Jose Feliciano's son.
Yeah,
and like that's the first thing that I always ask anyone who like comes from that kind of world is. Were you mentioned that you and Daniel grew up playing music. Did you ever feel at any point a desire to move away from music because of your family and because of who your father is? Or was it always just a foregone conclusion that you were going to get involved in music at some point?
I mean, it's always been, you know, part of the family. I've always been playing music. I'm not sure if you know or remember the Georgetown Saloon.
Yeah,
back and stuff. So that's where I first started playing with my dad and my brother. He plays drums, and then I really wanted to play guitar. I didn't want to play bass at all, but my mom really pushed me to play bass because she's like, "Oh no, this could be something maybe one day. Like you guys can jam together and you know have a good time."
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like going to like so many like open mic nights and like going to, you know, Park City or going to like you know a lot of different places in Black Rock and stuff to like go see live music or you know just go jam with people is because that was like you know brought to me at such a young age. You know, I love cooking. I've been working in kitchens pretty much my whole life, so that's another passion of mine also, like cooking and music. But I mean playing with my dad and doing music with that, it's always been something. I took bass lessons for about 7 years at Westport Music. And, you know, through that, learning different kinds of things, you know, playing with my father. Now I'm actually the bass player in my dad's band. And next week we're playing at Jazz Fest in New Orleans. 2 weeks ago we were in Seattle at a jazz club for a couple nights and stuff. So, you know, playing that kind of stuff and then having my own band and playing, you know, completely different music has really like broadened, you know, my, you know, musical palette and stuff. Beginning of last month, I played a symphony in Victoria, Texas. And that was like crazy playing with, you know, like 40 different musicians and stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in like, you know, a rock band and stuff. Or like, you know, I play in bars and everything like that. And it's just, you know.
Sometimes. Other times you do this now.
Yeah. So doing both with that and stuff. And, you know, he's been a huge influence on, you know, different technique, different ways of looking at music. And, you know, it's just, you know, he's keep going for it, you know, keep playing any kind of music that you can play. It's good and stuff. And, you know, I think it's really cool. The Black Rock scene now, what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
You have, you know, Park City, you got Toe Tog, Roadrunner, Social House, really good friends. At Luna's Cauldron, it's a new dispensary that opened right there. They have music also. I feel like it's very reminiscent from what my dad did in the 60s in Greenwich Village.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it's funny that you bring that up too, because it is kind of, I grew up in New York myself, and it does remind me of that kind of vibe. If people who listen to this podcast on the regular are going to be laughing at me now because, like, I find a way to talk about Black Rock in every single freaking episode. I didn't bring it up this time.
I did it for wasn't you.
Me. But I mean, what do you guys notice as being from this area, hanging out still in this scene, but gigging a lot in New York? You know, what are key differences between, you know, the scene that we have here in Connecticut and what's going on in New York right now?
From what I saw, you know, it's all very similar. Everyone wants to hear music. Everyone wants to enjoy music. There's a lot of music out there. I think now with, you know, COVID kind of being on the back nine, I feel like it's kind of like a floodgate of music and live entertainment.
Not good, everyone, but yes.
Everyone just wants that same kind of vibe. I feel like in this specific scene, I feel like it's, maybe a little bit more family oriented, you know.
There's so many different like musicians that support other musicians here.
Everyone's really warm and accepting with whatever kind of music it is. I mean, I saw once at Park City, it was, you know, like you know, a funk band. Then the other night it was this like EDM person playing and a girl is painting a picture at the same time. It's like, what the hell is that? It's just so much art and so much music. Yep. And I don't know, I just feel like everyone's really accepting about it. Everyone's really warm, and I don't know, maybe in the city, and I feel like you can get this anywhere, but maybe in the city people are a little bit more standoffish.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, they're, because you know, we're all working for the same thing. We all want the same thing, and who am I to say I worked harder than you worked?
Right.
Like a lot of people, you know, they get a little defensive about that, which is okay. I mean, I get that 100%. I take this serious. This is what I want to do. This is, you know, how I make my, like, you know, livelihood when I'm not cooking. But at the same time, you have to remember, like, you know, why are you doing this? What's the core of it and stuff? You're having a good time and you love music. So you, once you're surrounded with people that, you know, genuinely feel the same, I feel like it kind of has a different atmosphere.
New York is a pressure cooker. And I mean, if you take that away and you kind of just leave the art, then it definitely leads to a better scene for sure.
But then, you know, if you do that in New York and stuff, it's like, okay, then get out of here, dude.
Yes.
Like, you can move over. Okay. And that's, you know, 100%. Daniel and I have seen that kind of stuff and we're like, oh shit. Like, okay. And you know, it kind of brings us back to it. But at the same time, we're like, yo, we're really small fish in a really big pond. And, you know, fortunately, but then unfortunately, Daniel and I are always the youngest people in a room, or like when we're doing shows and stuff. And the reason why, like in the old band Forgetting Fame, we were able to play a lot of these places is because two of the guys in the band were over 21. And that was like our way to like get into it. And like, maybe we told the venue, maybe we didn't tell the venue.
Right.
Kind of thing. It's like, oh no, yeah, this guy's 21. There you go.
Wait. Yeah. How old are you now?
26.
Oh, okay. All right. That's how old I thought y'all were. But I know, like, for a second there, I was like, you're not still. Wait, that story about you being in high school was 2 years ago? But no, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of wish. I was like, I want to go back to being young again.
Oh, my God. Oh, shut up, being young again. Talking about. Don't make me take this hat off and show you my gray hair, Daniel.
Ooh.
Let's talk. Let's talk about these songs that you guys have been putting out. You know, I've been playing Cure Me. I've been playing the new single, which is Missing Stitches, which is streaming right now. And I'm going to be playing a bunch of your stuff this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox. Yeah, no, please. Absolutely. What the hell question do I want to ask about them? I just like these fucking songs, man. Tell me about the recording process of these, or rather, tell me about the writing process for Missing Stitches.
Yeah, I'll give that one to Daniel.
Yeah.
I feel like with our upcoming record and the songs that we've been recently releasing, we tried to take what we had, and like we were at like this point in our band where we were like, what can we do to change something or make it more defined or make not just like the same batch of songs that we did previously. I think we're always trying to look at how can we progress as a band. And I feel like these songs, these newer songs, or Missing Stitches, for example, is definitely an example of us trying to, and I believe it's like mainly for this record. I don't even know what the next record's going to be like. It could be something that's transformed into what we just did, but we always try to create something that is like more of a mature sound of who we are at this point, you know. So Missing Stitches, like we toned down less of the progressive kind of feel. We do have those songs. We have songs on the record that are kind of still reminiscent of some of the first songs that we came out with, but we tried to do for like Missing Stitches specifically, and other songs that we haven't come out with yet, more of like a Radiate 2.0 kind of thing, like the next step of like, this is what we're trying to go for, which is, in my opinion, more like a radio rock sound, more like adding a little softer element. It's more like ambient and vibey, rather than like progressive with some jazz and funk that sometimes we do. But we try to, you know, incorporate everything that we've done as well as show that progression in the band. So I think that's what we're trying to do for Missing Stitches specifically as well.
Yeah. And when we were recording this whole album, you know, it was in the middle of COVID completely. We recorded this album in November of 20. And when that happened, yeah. when we went to go, you know, everything was, you know, pre-production, everything was pre-recorded to the point where it's like, okay, we can release this now. This seems like it's fine. We can release it now. Everything was already recorded with what we had. We had a real direction, a real vision of what we wanted these songs to sound like, and, you know, have all these, the pre-production that we did, we went above and beyond. We overkilled it. And then when we went to go record with Chris, we're like, okay, we have all this stuff. Take it apart. Do whatever you want to do with it. We trust you. This is why we're here. And I feel like, you know, that kind of mentality, kind of, you know, covering our asses with all that and stuff, I feel like that really helped us out in the long run, because we gave out the best, you know, the best that we could give out in that point of view. And then, you know, with whatever that Chris did and stuff, like, just projected it, like, above and beyond to what, like, we imagined, you know, the song was going to sound this way and we were going to have it all together. But the way that he took it and manipulated, changed it, put his own spin on it was so different, to a point that we're like, oh, shit, like, this sounds like a completely different song. This is amazing.
Right.
So, like, having that and stuff and, you know, really, you know, trying to, you know, the pre-prep of everything, you know, really made everything go really smoothly and have everything go good together. But I do remember when we were leaving the studio, I think Daniel was still in the vocal booth maybe like 2 hours before we had to go to the airport. So we really used like as much time as possible for everything. And then we're like, okay, we have to clean up the apartment now and then we have to go.
Yep.
And stuff. Yep. And get everything together. But like Chris didn't, you know, he didn't take any breaks with anything. He didn't cut any corners and stuff. He really gave us the full undivided attention. And I know Daniel and I, and I can speak for the rest of the band, we're really grateful for it. And, you know, really hope that we can do something again with him. And we have so much respect for him.
Well, there's nothing better than having the time to like fully prepare to go in for a studio session too. Yeah. And 2020 yeah. gave us nothing but time, man. Nothing but time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, this Sunday, 95.9 The Fox, we're going to hear the newest single, Missing Stitches. We're going to hear Cure Me. We're going to hear, I got a bunch of stuff from you guys, but it's going to be a good time. Sunday night, 9 p.m., 95.9 FM if you live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, 959thefox.com if you want to listen from anywhere in the world. And, Radiate. Guys, I can't wait to see you live. It's been great talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. Absolutely. And the band and Mikey.
Oh, yeah, man. Anytime.
It's cool.
All right.
Yeah.